Did you know that the pet care industry is a billion-dollar industry and it is continuously growing? But are the people who care for your pets growing as well? I'm Dara Forleo, and on The Business of Pet Care, we are going to talk about what really goes on behind the scenes of those grooming tables, those daycare walls, and those social media filters. Welcome to The Business of Pet Care, the show where we look beyond the surface of animal care and into the systems, challenges, and opportunities shaping this industry. I'm your host, Dara Forleo, and today this conversation is one that every pet care professional, shelter leader, and animal advocate needs to hear. I am so excited today to be joined by Dr. Rachel Geller, and she is founder and president of All Cats All the Time. This is a nonprofit specifically dedicated to preventing cat surrender and abandonment through the accessibility of behavior counseling and education. Dr. Rachel brings such a rare blend of behavioral science, humane education, and surrender prevention. And you're gonna have to explain this more to me, the DEI leadership, which is helping communities keep cats in their homes instead of ending up in shelters. Today, we are really going to be talking about a reality that so many professionals underestimate. And this is the cost of cat behavioral problems and how small missed signals can really lead to this life-altering outcome for everyone involved, the cats, their families, the shelters, and businesses. You know, behavior challenges are one of the leading but most misunderstood drivers of cat surrender. And I think these issues begin and escalate pretty slowly and go unnoticed for most families until they're not sure what to do. You know what, Dr. Rachel, I am so glad to have you here and how grateful I am for the work you do, because you have helped me. So I would love to jump in and talk about this more. What is, you know, from your work, why are behavior issues such a major reason for cats losing their homes?
So first of all, thank you so much for having me here today. And yes, behavioral issues are a major reason for cats losing their homes and being surrendered back to shelters. And I think a big reason is many of us know about dog trainers, and we know dogs can learn behaviors, and we know all about, you know, dog training and dog classes, but not very many people are aware of cat behaviorists and that we can do something similar. We can help people who are dealing with problematic cat behaviors, but it is a little different. We're not really going to train your cat. What I'm going to come in and do as a cat behaviorist is help you look at the cat's world from the cat's perspective and set up that environment so that we solve the cat behavior problem. In other words, we're not going to so much train your cat as help you think like your cat. And people just are not aware that these resources do exist and that cats can learn. We can modify a cat's environment or behavior to get rid of the behavior you're not loving and replace it with an acceptable behavior. And there is help out there for you and for your cat.
What are some of the most common behaviors that are really the ones that risk surrender the most?
I would say hands down, no contest, litter box problems.
Yeah.
Cat pee is smelly. Cat pee is hard to get out of furniture. And cat pee is really the hardest for humans, I think, to understand and to deal with. They think you have your litter box. Why can't you just use this lovely litter box that, we provided for you? And they don't understand that from the cat perspective, there may be many things wrong with that litter box. This could be location. This could be the type of litter. This could be if the box is covered. Many cats don't want covered litter boxes. So there are all kinds of things that go into the litter box that are very important to a cat. Some are very easy to solve. If it's a covered box, remove the cover. Some are a little more difficult to solve, but the important thing to remember is most litter box problems are fixable. They are solvable. We just need to look at the cat's environment, look at the box, look at the litter, look at where the box is located, and start making some accommodations for your cat.
That was our issue when we talked. So we did. We went through the whole thing looking at why. I think I sent a video, pictures, and took all the steps to create that. And they seem to be doing better. They have more problems when it's cold outside because they like being outside a lot, but they don't like being out when it's cold or windy or too rainy. And then they're like, well, so much more inviting just jumping up on your bed.
Well,
But
it is very
knock
interesting,
on wood.
because location and all those things you mentioned mean so much to a cat. And many people like the idea of a cover on a box because to them, they're thinking like a human. We're giving our cats privacy. But cats actually want the exact opposite. They want a clear visual field. They want to see all the way around them. They want to have ample visual warning time should an opponent or invader appear. They want to know they have an escape route. When we go to the bathroom, we don't think about having an escape route,
Escape route,
but that's very important to your cat. So I really help people look at the litter box from the cat's perspective and set it up so the cat will feel safe now using that litter box.
That is really it's great to hear that there are ways to treat this. But when they go untreated, what does this do to the shelters and the rescues and where is this going for them?
Right. So if we do not have a surrender prevention program, in a shelter or in a rescue nearby where people can avail themselves of this type of help, here's what's going to happen. The cat continues to pee in places that the people don't want the cat to pee because we're not meeting the cat's needs in terms of, location or a box or litter or what have you. The problem becomes worse. The worse the problem becomes, the unhappier the people become. And they become convinced that there is no hope that this cat can ever get better, that there is no way we can ever teach this cat to use the box. And then they want to surrender the cat. Well, if you can find a shelter who's willing to take in a peeing cat, which is a problem in and of itself, these cats take much longer to be adopted back out again. Or you call a shelter and say, will you take in a peeing cat? And they'll put you on a wait list, or we can't take in a peeing cat right now. And that cat may end up being abandoned or worse, euthanized. And as a society, when we're abandoning cats or euthanizing cats or keeping cats in shelters longer than they need to be, this is just not how we want to be treating the animals in our care.
No, that is so true. What mindset shifts can people take, or even professionals to help, groomers and even other vets who might be able to help share with this knowledge and this information.
I think the first thing is to understand cats do not misbehave on purpose. Cats don't have a sense of right or wrong the way we do. So if your cat is using a litter box, he's not doing that because it's the morally correct thing to do. He's using the litter box because it meets his needs. And if the same cat does not use the box, he's not misbehaving. He's not trying to be a bad cat. There is some problem with the box, and he is trying to solve his problem as a cat. So if we can understand that and then look at things from the cat's perspective and not the human perspective, then I think we're on the right road.
It's so sad to hear. I just hate seeing people parting with their cats and wanting to or thinking they need to. So we are going to take a quick break, but coming up, we are going to explore why surrender prevention can't rely on just one person or one expert, and how building these systems create the lasting change. Okay, welcome back to the Business of Pet Care. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected with us and every Now Media TV favorite live or on demand anytime you want. Download the free Now Media TV app. Who knew we had one of those? It's on Roku or ISO and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, don't forget, you can also catch the podcast versions of all of our shows right on our website, nowmedia.tv. From business and news, lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. We are going to continue with this conversation with Dr. Rachel Geller, and we are going to get into how surrender preventions really how we can change this, but through intentional, repeatable systems that are going to support everyone, professionals and families, especially the cats. Dr. Rachel, what I mean, this is, I didn't even know you had this certification pathway. I think that's where we're going with this, is that you have created this, and this is truly amazing. And I'm flabbergasted.
Well, I realized I can't clone myself. And one thing that I found was happening, and this is a good thing because it means there are people out there who want the help, we want more surrender prevention. We want to help more cats. So that's a good thing. But what was happening is shelters were passing my name along. Oh, this woman can help you. This woman can help this client. And before long, I was getting way more emails and texts in my mailbox than was humanly possible to answer, even if that's all I did from sun up to sundown. So, okay, there's a problem out there that exists. What can I do? So I wrote, created, authored a course on surrender prevention. And I took everything that I've developed and that I use when I do this on my own for shelters, for cat owners, for individuals, for rescues, and I put it all into a course. And every video that I've made, every handout that I've made, every document that I've made became part of this course. And there is a process that you go through to take it. There's a quiz that you take, and you can become certified. Now, the best thing about this course is it is only $10, so it's extremely accessible. But if that is, a financial barrier, I also have partnered with Maddie's Fund, and there are scholarships available for this course for people to take it completely free of charge. And through my nonprofit, people can come to me as well and say, I would like to take this course. I can't afford the $10, and I will pay for the course. So the course is very financially accessible due to price, but there are also two options to take it completely free of charge. It's offered through the platform Community Cats Central, and this is really, to me, the moral and humane response to this problem, because we are now taking the surrender prevention template and making it available to all,
So is
slowly but
this
surely.
something that's coming into the local shelters for them to be able to have volunteers take this?
So volunteers can take it, staff can take it, employees, anybody affiliated with the shelter who would like to be part of surrender prevention can take it. And as somebody who sat on a lot of boards at animal shelters, there's always those volunteers who, oh, I want to help, but I really don't want to go into the shelter and clean poop. Or, I want to help, but I don't really want to clean the cages. This is great for that person who maybe wants to help from home, remotely, by phone, by computer, right? This can completely be done in a volunteer's own home. So I think it really opens up a whole avenue for volunteers, maybe people who are older, retired, may have some motor problems or ambulation problems. And this really widens, I think, the field for volunteers who would like to get involved.
So this is not something you're saying somebody can go out, because I don't want people to think they can go out and start charging for their services after taking this. That is not what this program is about. It is specifically for keeping felines at
Yes.
home and non-surrender.
Correct. This is
So
surrender prevention, and the goal is that you work with a shelter or a rescue,
okay.
and the mission is to help keep a cat, who's about to be surrendered to a shelter in her home.
Okay, good. I just wanted to clear that up because I
Thank you.
know, there are some people that would be like, oh, I could take this and charge for this. And I do not want that to be thought out there. Because I could see this being very useful to cat groomers. But again, I don't want it to be thought of as a new addition to their services, right? Because there is a very, very fine line walking with that behavior
Yes,
word
yes,
and where
yes.
you sit
You're right, you're right.
professionally
Yeah,
on that.
and yes, and my mission in life is to remove any financial barriers that may be preventing people from keeping a cat in their home when it's due to a behavior problem. So this is another tool in the toolkit, hopefully,
There he is.
because I understand that many shelters may not employ a cat behaviorist, but here's a way, very low charge or no charge. And as I said, I'm providing all of the videos that I've made when I started doing this myself. So there's a video on litter box, there's videos on scratching posts, there's videos on inter-cat aggression, your cat and your new baby. There's so many video modules that people can take and use to help keep cats in their homes.
That's what we need. I'm glad we need to keep that visual going. How
Yes.
long has this been active?
So I'm going to my third year of doing this,
Okay.
and I think we've certified somewhere around 1,500 surrender prevention specialists.
I like that name.
Yeah,
That's
yeah.
the best way to, yep.
So full speed ahead, going into another year. I'll be doing it again this year. I'm very much looking forward to having more people take the class, more people get certified, more people becoming part of surrender prevention programs. So then when that person calls the shelter and says, "I have to get rid of this cat. She's peeing on the couch. She turned my couch into confetti," whatever the problem is. Now we can say to that person, "If I told you that we can work with you completely free of charge and you will be able to keep your cat, would you like to do that?" Most people say yes. Because most people deep down do not want to surrender their cats. They just do not realize there are other options.
Yes, I have one sprawled across the desk right now.
Exhibit A.
At some point, he's going to attempt to knock over the camera, push something off, or lay on the keyboard. He likes to be a helper. Pest. And he is one of the bad boys. Well, he's not a bad boy. He is a bad boy. You are, huh? Yes. So these are all over the country that you're doing this, and what's the first step for a business to or a shelter to start getting proactive in this?
So, people can contact me directly through my website, drrachelcatbehavior.com, and I'll send them in the right direction. Or they can go on to the Community Cats Central website, and I'm listed there as well.
Well, has this slowed your emails down?
Maybe a little bit, not quite as
A
much as I'd
little.
like. It might be it's a work in progress. Yeah.
Well, I feel I have to say, if you get that many emails of like, wow, mine slipped through. That's crazy that you get.
It's crazy. And I came to that, like, I have to figure something out because it's not like at first I was thinking, well, if I work a little harder, then I realized, no, this is like physically impossible. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, we're gonna go ahead. We're gonna take another little break here, but I know you just said where people can find you, but where we'll have that put back up there.
Okay.
We next we are going to talk about access, inclusion, or I should say access, inclusion, and why removing barriers is really important for both your mission and the sustainability of it. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Business of Pet Care. Many people want to help long before the surrender becomes inevitable, but barriers are still standing in the way. Access to help and understanding that there are people who can help. There's inclusion and in why equity matters in keeping cats home as well. So the cost and language and fear of judgment, and there's so many things that prevent families from really seeking help early when services feel too much. Money, mainly the biggest barrier, unreachable. And that's when that surrender becomes that end result and not the desired result we all want to see. What barriers are most commonly stopping families from getting this help early to keep the cats home?
Well, as you mentioned, the financial barrier is definitely the hardest and the most difficult to overcome if people are not aware of the resources. But as a cat behaviorist myself, I try to look at the big picture. What other barriers are there? Are there time limitations? Are there patience limitations? are there limitations forced on the cat owner because of the family around them? Like, has a boyfriend had it with the cat, or the spouse has said it's the cat or me? So there's all kinds of barriers and limitations that can be placed on the cat and the cat owner. And for me, as the cat behaviorist, I feel very strongly as part of my job to ask a lot of questions and to find out what all of the barriers are. For example, if somebody is very short on patience, they've tried everything for this cat, they've done this, they've done that, they followed advice from well-meaning friends and family, I'm not going to set up a program that's going to take many steps and 2 weeks to go through. Right. If there is a financial barrier, and somebody has already had to toss a couch or a bed or furniture, I'm not going to say, oh, go out and buy this fancy cat tree. This will really help. I'll try to help them find DIY ideas or things existing in their homes that can solve the problem. Yeah. So I'm always assessing what the potential barriers are and how we can work around that. And I do find that if we can work around a barrier or work around a limitation and we see some progress, and the cat owner notes, oh, maybe we're getting somewhere, that can give me an in to continue to do even more. But also, you know, talking about fear of judgment. None of us wants to be judged. Yeah. None of us. So the worst thing is somebody calls a shelter or a rescue and talks about how they want to surrender their cat. And someone who they don't even know answers the phone and may give like a non-understanding answer, you know, oh, well, you want to get rid of your cat? Well, gee, you may not be a very good cat owner anyway then. Like, nobody wants the sarcasm. Nobody wants the hidden, you know, gee, you're just not a great cat owner to begin with.
Yeah.
We want somebody who is surrendering their cat to be our ally. We want to work with them. If I give a snarky response, that person will probably just hang up the phone.
Yeah.
They probably will not want to work with me. So we really need to think about empathy, compassion, being more understanding on that initial phone call. You know, reframe it. If somebody is surrendering their cat to your shelter, well, they do care. They're not abandoning the cat. They're not walking away and leaving the cat somewhere. They're surrendering their cat to an organization who they believe will care for the cat and love for the cat and find that cat maybe another loving home. So surrenderers do care. And it's our job to sort of get on the side of that person and show we care. Work with them. Let's work together. Let's see what we can do together so you can keep your cat who you love.
That's great that, you know, people don't really think about that as at coming in, I know, especially going to taking a plethora of animals to the vet, and then it's, well, let's start at Z and then work our way back to A instead of start at A and go to Z. Whereas you're taking everything in, not just what's going on with the cat, but also what's going on in that family as well to help assess what's going to be the best steps for them. I mean, that's truly something special.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And that's why, you know, I've developed all of this in templates. It's all written down. So anybody who takes my course is going to have this information, these questionnaires, you know, how I do it, you can do it. And that's my goal. So I know this is not really a real word, but I am very share-y with everything that I created.
Yeah.
And it's for you guys. It's for anybody who wants to help keep cats in their homes.
I think it's wonderful. How about, do you have a couple stories you could share with us real quick on some success stories? Because, we've talked a lot about all of it, but it'd be nice to have some of that energy too.
Well, one shelter who I work with let me know today that since they instituted my surrender prevention program, they went from a 9% return rate to a 2% return rate.
Oh, that's
So just think
amazing.
of that in terms of lives saved.
Yep.
People are happy. They kept their cat. The cat stayed in the home, leaving a spot open for a cat who truly is homeless, paws on the ground. The goodwill of the shelter being a resource to the community. There's just so much happiness there. And then the other day, I got a note from another shelter that I've helped put in a surrender prevention program. And they told me that in their first year, they kept 125 cats who were about to be surrendered. The form was filled out, and the people kept their cats. So 125 cats
Stayed home.
stayed in their homes who did have a behavior problem and were going to be surrendered. So, yay.
Yay. I was
Yay.
gonna that is amazing.
Yeah.
To just have that, because I mean the number of cats in shelters is very high.
There are, there are not enough shelters, and there are too many cats. And if we can keep cats who have a home in their homes, that goes a really long way to
Yeah.
solving the problem. And these people who become happy with their cats are people who will now become donors. They will adopt other cats. They will spread the word, Oh, a friend of mine has a cat. The cat's peeing in the bed. Oh, I'll let them know about surrender prevention. So, in a way, it's a little bit difficult to sort of do something that's never been done. It's a little bit of a maiden voyage. It's a little bit groundbreaking, but I'm starting to see the ripple effect, and I'm
Yeah.
starting to see change and people like you who care and ask me to be a guest on your show.
Yep.
Here we are, little by little spreading the word. So we're
Yeah.
getting there. We're
Well,
getting there.
that was my whole goal was I have known since coming in, I'm like, I've wanted to have you on, and it has just been like, oh, gotta get this word out there. But I love that we had the conversation earlier about who the certification is for, what it's not being used for, and where it needs to be used so that we can get it out to more shelters. And
Yes.
I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, and there are a lot of I have a lot of animal advocates and a lot of shelter directors that follow or have been starting to follow me lately. So hopefully this will reach them too when we get this out there and shared, because they're on LinkedIn, and that is where I spend a lot of time these days, because there are a lot of people out there trying to do just this and get this word out there.
Great.
Yeah, I can think of a few people that I need to share this with, even on the international level, that I've connected with who are doing things in other countries like this
I
too.
just did a whole conference remotely in Australia, and before that I did one in Hong Kong.
Wow.
So let's get it out there. I mean, this is the way to really make a difference in cats' lives.
Yeah.
But not only that, and the happiness of people who adopt the cats.
Yeah, that is the whole point of all of this. Well, we
Yes.
need to go out on a break right now, but when we come back, we are going to focus on what pet care professionals, what you guys can do right now, starting today. We will see you back in a second. And as we close today, we are going to get this conversation back into action with what professionals can do right now to help start preventing surrender. You can support families, you can strengthen outcomes across the industry. And that is what this is all about, is surrender prevention doesn't require overstepping. It requires awareness, compassionate language, which we talked about, it early recognition and clear referral pathways that help make this accessible before that crisis hits. Oh my goodness, Dr. Rachel, please tell us, what are some realistic actions pet care professionals, and I think that goes to everyone, that they can take today to really help start preventing this and getting this word out to more people?
I think the first place that people can start is word choice. So many people who are having trouble with their cats will use words like aggressive or destructive, or they're doing it on purpose. And I always teach people to turn it around and ask, and this way you're not assigning any blame, you're just finding out more information. So don't use those words, but instead say, what is it that you're observing that makes you think that? Or what are you seeing that makes you think that? What's your cat doing? And this way, you not only can get more accurate information, but you're taking those terms out of the conversation. So many times, just to be able to get the person talking about what they see their cat doing, but without using words like aggressive. And then right. When you hear what the cat is doing, then it's easier for you to maybe offer a suggestion, or maybe you want to look into this, or I know somebody who can help. So taking out that, some of those really negative words out of the conversation, to me is a very important first step.
How can we help shelters market this? Do they have, I'm just listening to how you're saying, and connecting the professionals to the shelters that are offering this, and be able to say, did you know our local shelter has this? And let me get you in contact with them, so that the shelters have that marketing aspect as well.
So most shelters do have like a resources section on their webpage, or a shelter director who has access to, you know, other groups and other resources and places that may be helpful to them. So referring somebody to an animal shelter or a rescue is always a good idea, because if that professional doesn't know the answer, they can right. usually get the answer. And many people at shelters are certified in programs such as Fear Free. I'm certified in that as well. And once you're a member of Fear Free, that opens up a whole cornucopia of information, events, studies, magazines that are free of charge for almost anybody to access. So having that knowledge where to point people in the right direction is a good place to start.
Yeah, I just don't want to see people going out and trying to diagnose themselves without referring to somebody within the network or somebody who has already gone through your programs.
Yeah, and that's a common problem. I mean, people come to me all the time telling me, you know, my cat has food obsession. You know, my boyfriend looked it up for me on the internet and he read all about it. And this is my cat's problem. So often there are many well-meaning family members and friends that can definitely sort of bring somebody down the wrong path. And again, that's why I always sort of bring it back. Well, tell me exactly what it is that your cat is doing. What is it that you're observing? And then kind of get a better handle on what truly is going on, many people who are in crisis may not be the most reliable reporters. So it's good to get as much info as you can. And then, again, most community shelters, especially your local Humane Society or your local Rescue League, will have many resources at the ready, and they can really help you.
Yeah. How do you think some of the professionals out there can notice some of these red flags without making anyone feel bad or pushing the blame?
I do think if you hear somebody use words like aggressive,
oh yeah,
destructive, you know, he's a bad cat, he does this on purpose, oh, he knows when he's wrong, you know, things like that. Those can be tip-offs that maybe everything isn't exactly great at home. And that's a time where you could ask and then perhaps even say, hey, did you know there are free resources where you can have that problem solved?
Yeah.
Would you be interested in having me direct you to some of these completely free of charge resources? So things like that could be helpful.
Do you have a resource library, or not a resource library, but a listing of all the places or the people that have gone through your class?
I don't. What I have, I'm not that high tech yet. What I do have is a website.
I'm happy to help you do that if you'd like.
Okay. DrRachelCatBehavior.com. And on my website is a way you can contact me, but also on my website is access to my YouTube channels, to all of the videos that I have made, to how to buy my books, and how to contact me directly.
Oh, so perfect.
If you do have a question that's unanswered on my site, shoot me an email. I will get you the answer. And again, I'm on the Community Cat Central platform. I'm a panelist every year for the annual Online Behavior Day. And
oh, wow.
I give the Surrender Prevention Certification as well.
I think I saw something up on your website about that. How about referrals? Any way that, besides reaching out, you know, that they can, you know, no, I'm just thinking in my head going, okay, how do we get more shelters to... Sorry, I'm already growing it for you. Sorry.
I love it.
I think the next step's ahead.
So, I love it.
If you had to name one simple action that professionals can take this week, just this week, let's say within the next week, to get going, besides go visit your website and look at this. you know, I come back to the grooming industry a lot because obviously that's the industry I'm in.
Yes.
And education is what we do. I want to see the groomers that are feline groomers that we teach have access to this to be able to help the cats that they take care of. We do have quite a few that are feline specific groomers, and I don't want them thinking this is something they can add to their service, but they can add this to their background to be able to work with their local communities and their
yes.
local shelters themselves.
Here's the thing: you can take the course, you can become certified, you can have all of the knowledge, have access to all the videos, the forms, the documents. But that doesn't mean that you need to practice, in addition to being a groomer, being a surrender prevention specialist. But you can have the knowledge mm-hmm. and know when you should take action, how to take action, where to go with that. And that's very powerful. So I think that there's
that's
a lot of value in taking the course, even if that's not how you want to actually spend, you know, your hours. But you have that tool in your back pocket. You know what to do with it. And again, groomers can, if they find the $10 fee too much, they we have scholarships available through Maddie's Fund, and we have grants available through my nonprofit. Anybody who does pay the $10 fee for the course, I put 100% of what I make into my nonprofit to help other people, whether it's paying for their vet care or low-income people who can't afford cat food or a medical assist or whatever. Same with my books. 100% of my book sales go into my nonprofit to help low-income cat owners with supplies that they may or may not be able to afford. So it's all one big happy family if you go through my website, and it's all about my personal mission in life, which is always making sure there is never a financial barrier preventing anybody from keeping their cat when the issue is behavioral.
That you are truly amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Rachel, for your leadership, for all of your compassion and everything you have shared today. Here he comes again. Whoop, and just like that, he knows today was all about cats and reminding us that preventing surrender is not just the most humane thing. It is the most, it's the smartest, most sustainable, and deeply impactful thing we can do. To everyone out there, early action, inclusive systems, and the shared responsibility is going to really change the outcomes for the cats we all love, the families that love them too, and for the businesses that are pushing and supporting this. I am Dara Forleo, and this is The Business of Pet Care. Until next time, keep building businesses that care this deeply and are really acting as intentionally as Dr. Rachel is.
Thank you.
Did you know that the pet care industry is a $1 billion industry and it is continuously growing? But are the people who care for your pets growing as well? I'm Dara Forleo, and on The Business of Pet Care, we are going to talk about what really goes on behind the scenes of those grooming tables, those daycare walls, and those social media filters.